Hi friends, we're launching something very special here at Smart Beauty and I'm so excited to tell you about it. We're looking for a few select beauty entrepreneurs to become our case study clients. And yes, we plan to get you absolutely amazing results that we can both show off. But here's the thing, we're looking for someone very specific. One, you need to be serious about growing and scaling your beauty business. Two, you're struggling to define your brand story and tone of voice. And three, you can keep a secret about what we're working on behind the scenes. If this sounds like you, email hello@smartbeautycreative.com or DM us over on Instagram. Our handle is smartbeautycreative. We're only taking on a handful of clients for this special opportunity and applications close soon. Let's transform your beauty business together.
Hello and welcome to the Smart Beauty Podcast. I'm your host, Viola Levy, beauty journalist and founder of copy-led branding agency, Smart Beauty Creative. We're here to create your brand voice and craft the story behind it.
Today, I'm sitting down to chat with probably one of the sweetest people in the perfume industry, Amanda Carr, founder of the Barnes Fragrance Fair, which is taking place on the 17th of May. All details will be in the show notes. She's also a trend forecaster and co-founder of the fragrance platform We Wear Perfume, which she runs with my very good friend Tamara Fulton. Definitely check that out. In this episode, Amanda shares the accidental beginnings of what has now become a mainstay on the UK fragrance industry calendar. Drawing from her extensive experience analysing fragrance trends and interviewing perfumers and brand founders, she provides unique insights into the evolving perfume landscape. Amanda discusses how the fair creates an immersive village fete-like atmosphere that stands in contrast to the traditional beauty hall experiences, offering visitors the chance to meet brand founders and discover unique, independent British perfumers. The conversation also explores the changing relationship between young men and fragrance, the intersection of scent with music and wellness, and how the British perfume industry is slowly and finally gaining recognition for its eccentric, creative approach to scent making. Whether you're a fragrance enthusiast or simply curious about this sensory art form, my chat with Amanda offers a delightful glimpse into the welcoming and innovative world of British perfumery. I hope you enjoy this chat, and you can catch up with Amanda, all of her fragrant friends, and me at the Barnes Fragrance Fair, which, as I say, is happening on the 17th of May. All details and the link will be in the show notes. So Amanda, welcome to the podcast. It's so lovely to be chatting with you today.
Thank you, Viola. I'm thrilled to be here. It's lovely to chat with you.
What inspired you to create the Barnes Fragrance Fair and why now? What was the real catalyst?
Well, I'd like to say it was something I planned meticulously, carefully and organised from a long time ago. But actually, I'm in it accidentally. I had no desire at all to launch a fragrance fair. I just was in the right place with the right skill set, knowing the right people at the right time. I mean, I'm not the first person to think that a fragrance fair is a good idea for London. Lots of people have been talking about it for a while, but I think I was the first person to actually do it. And I did it because my friend Anne Mullins said, why don't you do it in Barnes? So because she organised a lot of fairs for Barnes. We do the book fest here. We do a food fest. We do a big antiques fair. It's kind of seems to be a Barnes thing to do fairs. So we did it together. And I just wrote to all the brands that I really, really love and said that I was doing it. And what do they think? And they all jumped at it, which was great. And I mean, I'm being slightly disingenuous to myself. I'm also a trend forecaster and I write about fragrance and what's happening in the fragrance world. And I know that there is not enough shelf space for UK in independent brands. I know that we're really, really good in the UK at creating fragrance. There's a lot of very creative people turning to fragrance as a medium, if you like, to express creativity, and I know that they were all a bit frustrated with the retail scene, so it kind of just seemed like a no-brainer to me. And I thought, well, what have I got to lose? I might as well just have a go. And now I've created something of a monster.
It's fantastic. I think it's become a kind of mainstay on the industry calendar now,
Well, it's
which is brilliant.
exciting, isn't it, that it has? I mean, this will only be number three on May the 17th. But yeah, people, I think we wanted to create a place where it was really enjoyable to hang out. So even if nobody turned up to that first fair, the fragrance world, as you well know, is a very friendly, fun place to
It
be.
is.
It was quite early days in the sort of UK fragrance industry as far as independent brands are concerned. And it's a friendly place. We're all trying to sort of, wish each other well and celebrate each other. And so if nobody had turned up on that first Saturday, it wouldn't have mattered because we'd have all just had fun chatting throughout the day. That would have been kind of a fun thing to do. But luckily they did. And yeah, it has turned into something of interest to everybody, which is terrific. And long may that last. I suspect that other people will get in on the act, cleverer and smarter than me. But
Amanda,
at
you're very
the
clever and smart. Please don't bring
moment,
yourself
I'm
down.
really enjoying it. We have a good time. People are turning up from all over the place. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
And what do you think makes it, gives it that kind of USP or that secret sauce that has made it the what it, what it is today and
Goodness,
makes
if
it
I
different?
knew, Viola, I would bottle it and sell it. It'd probably make me more money. I think because it's quite low key, I'm not aiming to be big and flashy. I'm actually, it's a small space. It's got a very sort of village fete feel to it. So it's not got ideas above its station at the moment. So it's quite grounded and we're all there to celebrate. So and the experiential thing is really important to me. I wanted it to be as far away from a beauty hall experience as I could possibly make it, because I know that some consumers love a beauty hall, but many fragrance consumers do not and are put off by that sort of overlit, pressurized environment where often people are, paid by commission, and it feels like a very inauthentic place to buy something that's so intimate and special. That fragrance is something that you wear like a garment. It's something very, very special to you. So I wanted to create somewhere that was definitely more immersive, where you could perhaps meet the brand founder and have that. I mean, that in itself is sort of quite exciting because some of the brand founders are going to
Definitely.
go on to do really big things, and I think you'll be able to say, "Oh, I first met so and so at the Barnes Fragrance Fair, and we had a chat, and he or she picked the fragrance that I'm wearing today." And that's kind of quite a strong little glimmer of joy that can bring an additional USP to a purchase, which I thought was, worth going for.
I feel like the British perfume industry, it seems to fly under the radar compared to like the French and Italian industries. Why do you think that is, and do you think that's starting to change?
Definitely starting to change. I also think it's worth noting that in the fragrance world, things move quite slowly. In fashion, I used to write about fashion trends, fashion retail trends, and fashion moves really fast because it has two seasons, at least a year. Often it's four seasons. And now with drops, it's just, constantly on the go and changing all the time. With fragrance, it's much, much slower. Fragrances take often 18 months, sometimes 2 years to create from scratch. So that's a slower process. And I think the whole thing works a little more slowly. So I think the UK is recognized within the industry as being a really great place for independent and niche brands. But I think that their evolution and how we accommodate them within the retail marketplace will take a little longer, just because it's not fashion and people move a little bit more slowly. If you're going to start up a shop, for example, I mean, I've noticed, interestingly, we've got quite a few new independent retail stores, fragrance stores starting up. We've got one that's opened here in Richmond, Perfume La Danse. We've got quite a trio of them in Brighton. There's Nancy Mylan's wonderful shop, and then there's Solifleur. But anyway, it is changing. People are starting to see the gap in the market. Retailers are starting to see the gap in the market. So I think it will change. The French, obviously. I mean, I went to Perfume Week in Paris this time, which was a celebration of independent brands. And They are definitely slightly ahead of us, I would say, in that they're acknowledging their independent brands, and they're perhaps some of them are doing particularly well. But I still think it's the same for most areas. The independents are getting there, but it's taking a little while. And one of the reasons is shelf space. How does your consumer find a wonderful independent brand like Gallivant or like Olfactive O? If you can't go into a London store, if you're out, I don't know where you could be anywhere in the UK, you have to discover them either by chance or by your friend wearing it, or it's really hard to find it. So so it's going to take a while, but I think we're slowly going to get there. And once it starts, I'm sure it'll be very exciting.
Okay, there are subscription services. What do you think of those? Will they
Yeah,
send
I
you
love them.
samples?
Love them. I think they're absolutely brilliant. And again, it's expensive to start up a direct-to-consumer
It is.
idea like that. I mean, for example, I love Fiol. They're one of my favorite subscription services. I don't know if they describe themselves as a subscription, but whatever. Their online connection to the consumer, I think, is really, really good. And I think they've made great inroads into discovering fragrance remotely, as it were. It's a really good idea. And I love, I mean, obviously the perfume shop's been doing, the Perfume Society, excuse me, has been doing it for quite a while, and they do a great monthly box, which I think is very exciting. So there are a lot of good ideas out there. The issue is just scaling them up so everybody knows about them and everyone knows how to get hold of them.
For
Yeah, it's
sure.
tricky. It's a tricky time in retail anyway. I mean, we won't mention the T word, but it's life is chaos for retailers at the moment because they've got no idea, whether they're going to have a good summer or a bad summer because of all the additional pressures financially on everybody. So it's if you're surviving, you're doing really well, and it's been sort of pretty sort of tumultuous over the last 5 years. So any retailer that's doing is staying on the high street, or any brand that's surviving is doing a cracking job because it's a tough environment at the moment.
For sure, and I think fragrance has to work harder than most because it's an invisible product. And if people are buying online, there's, you have to be really in person to know what you're getting. And so that's why I think, fragrance fairs like yours are such a great idea.
Yes, I think so. And they're a joy. They're a day out. They're an experience.
Love
And
a
I
day
think
out.
and who doesn't love a day out? And it feels like it's better value for money than just going to, if you're just going to a store to buy fragrance, it's not such an experience. Whereas coming to the fair is a day out. You get to listen to lots of people talking. I mean, I'm a strong advocate for education in fragrance and being more transparent, as I know you are too, because there's so many interesting stories, behind the scenes stories to tell in fragrance, and there are just not many places where you can do that. But at the fair, we've got people like Roger Dove doing his ingredients tour, which I'm sure you've done too. I mean, as journalists, we've been lucky to go to Roger's ingredients talks, organized by the Fragrance Foundation, and they were just brilliant. And the consumer will absolutely love those. So I'm really excited that Roger's going to come and do that for us at the fair. Then you've got, fragrance superstars like Alice Duparc and Susie Nightingale and Nicola Bonn, who are coming to
Incredible.
talk to themselves or to the consumer about, their feelings on fragrance. And they have such a fantastic, approachable way of talking about fragrance that just sitting and listening to them for an hour, you feel like you've learned so much because, they talk about fragrance in a way we can all understand. And I think that's really, really important, don't you? I mean, I know you're hot on transparency and
Definitely,
it all.
definitely. And I think, as I'm sure you'll agree, there's this such rich sort of education piece around fragrance and sense of smell. I mean, there's so much to learn and it's so fascinating, but I feel like all of this knowledge is kind of, there's so much gatekeeping around it, and we're just, instead brands kind of I spoke to Karen Gilbert on the podcast yesterday. We were talking about the same thing, about how there's so much smoke and mirrors in the industry, and that there's such a rich scope for storytelling and where you can sort of take your sense of smell, and it's linked to emotions and memories and everything that you know very well, that I feel like the average consumer doesn't get to find out about. And it's so sad, because then they can engage with fragrance in a much more interesting and meaningful way as a result.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's just the stories behind the scenes that smoke and mirrors are trying to hide are actually fascinating. And there's, I mean, it's brilliant. You know, the ingredients, for example, we've got a branch of IFF, International Fragrance and Flavors and Fragrances, has a naturals brand called LMR Naturals, and they're like the Rolls-Royce of naturals. And they're coming to the fair to do a rose
Brilliant.
workshop with Joe Fairley. And you know, I'm absolutely thrilled because again, we did that when the brand Austin's launched. They brought over the LMR team, and we were all absolutely wowed by this rose workshop where we smell lots of different versions of the rose. You know, you think you know rose, but actually it stretches across so many different smell.
It's so versatile, isn't it?
It's incredible. And you know, that's definitely something that customers will love. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we've also got Roger Miles, who runs the Olympic Studios Records, which we're lucky to have in Barnes, the Olympic Studios, and Hayden Williams, who's a journalist, podcaster, and also a music expert. They're putting fragrance and song together, and I think that's a really interesting way for particularly men to do this. There's not many opportunities for sort of older men or sort of middle-aged men to grasp fragrance. Some do, obviously, and I'm generalizing slightly, but it's rather a nice way for men to get into fragrance, is to attach it to a musical reference. And the connection between music and fragrance is so strong emotionally. You know, when you hear a record that you used to dance all night to, or that you fell in love to, you know, there's a sort of like really strong emotional connection. Exactly the same happens with fragrance.
For
So,
sure. And they're both invisible, and they both kind of creep up on you, and you've got the obviously the notes and the chords and accords and things like that. It's just, yeah, there's so much crossover, isn't there?
yeah. So, and again, you don't see that used very often. So we have that talk, and it's a lovely space to do it in. The Olympic Studios is a lovely cinema. So, yeah. So, and you know, I just think that's got huge potential for other people to go and visit and say, yeah, this is a great idea. I never thought about fragrance and scent and songs together. So, yeah.
No, amazing. And like you, I started out in fashion, and I found that, you know, the fragrance world in the UK at least, is just the sort of marked contrast from, you know, the fashion world. I'm sure there are lovely people in the fashion world, and I've met several, but that kind of cliquey, frosty, kind of exclusionary nature that is inherent in the fashion world wherever you go, I think wherever you go. And then you've got the perfume world, which I discovered as a journalist, and it's this just amazing, welcoming,
I know.
friendly, lovely place, and
Yeah.
everyone's welcome, everyone fits in, and we're all just this kind of bunch of misfits kind of come together
Totally.
because we love, you know, scent, and it attracts that kind of creative person. And I feel like the British approach to scent, I don't know if you agree, is kind of similar in a way. It's kind of similar to how we approach fashion. It's very eccentric, very creative, maverick, and I think that that needs to be, shouted about a lot more. So that's why I'm really grateful that you're doing things like this.
I absolutely agree with you, Viola. It's that we were good at, and I used to write about, you know, when fast fashion first evolved back in the early 2000s. I think, you know, I was starting to write about it, and it was a super exciting time to be around fashion retail because we weren't really worried about sustainability at that point. You know, so not such a good thing, but actually, you just saw the enormous creativity coming out of Central St Martins and London College of Fashion, and you know how the it's it was a moment in time, and it evolved around people and opportunities, and it was very, very exciting. And I think something like ignoring the fact that it's also a ghastly place to be if you're unlucky, fragrance is going through that moment at the moment, I think. So we're calling ourselves, yes, I love the words misfits because that's what we all feel like. But actually, I think we're really, really lucky our little group because we're at the beginning of something really exciting. I think that fragrance will become much more important. It's already dominating the beauty category for growth. I think it'll become much more important for wellness. I think it'll be important for social understanding of smell and how important it is to us. I think it'll go into all sorts of different areas. So we're kind of lucky, Viola. We're in at the beginning. It feels, although it does feel as if it's been a long time coming. So I know you and I've been around it for quite a long time, and we feel like it's taken an age to get there. But all overnight successes are usually 10 years in the planning. So I think eventually we're going to be acknowledged as being lucky because we were
For
in
sure.
at the beginning of this wonderful evolution.
It's a very exciting time. And what qualities do you look for in a brand when curating the fair?
That's a really good question, and it's one I'm struggling with at the moment because it's my edit that goes in, and so I have to be quite strong about how I do this, and it's really hard because there's only room for about just over 22 brands in the space we've got at the moment, and it's really hard to say no to people who I see who are great. I'm looking for people who are a brand which has properly committed. There are lots of people, and I'm not judging here, but there are lots of people who are creating and thinking, could I do this? And they're on the kitchen table at home and they're messing about with ingredients they've
Yes.
bought online. And that's terrific. And long may that last. But it's not enough to take that to
Has
the
it got
fragrance.
legs, or is it just a
Haven't got
hobby?
legs. I'm really looking at people who are looking at it as a career. I want people who are committed, and I also want beautiful fragrances. It's not easy to make a beautiful fragrance, as you and I both know.
No.
There are a lot of duffs on the market, and when you're coming to our fair, I want the edit to be as beautiful as I can make it, so I can look at all of those brands and say, wherever you go, you're going to smell good. One of those is going to be absolutely perfect for you, but all of them will make you smell a whole lot better than you currently do. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people who are friendly and nice. So back to your point about the fact that we are quite a nice industry. I don't want anyone who's difficult. I want people who are keen to be part of our little world and support each other. And that seems important because the vibe in the fair is very much one of fun and friendliness, and I want to carry that on as long as possible. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, and it's very hard work. It's not easy for a brand to launch. It's not easy to get any sort of acknowledgement from the retail world once you are launched, and you have to work very, very hard to maintain your position. So I'm looking for somebody who's got the grit, I guess.
Yeah, I think grit is a key thing here, isn't it? I was, learning this the hard way myself. It's not, I've never been the most confident person, but I think it's not necessarily about who's the most confident or the loudest in the room. It's whether like you say, you've got that grit and that tenacity and that perseverance to just keep going at all costs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I give Olivia from Olfactive O as a sort of example of this
Love
because when I
Olivia.
first met Olivia a long time ago, she had this great idea, and I looked at her and I thought, oh, have you really got? Because she's a tiny, slight thing, and I just thought, have you really got the grit and determination to get through here? But she showed me she really has. Her fragrances are amazing. She's so tough, and she's like a little masterclass of how to make it work. And I always give her as an example of anyone saying, well, what brand's doing it really well? I always think Olivia's. I mean, there are loads of brands doing it well, but I think Olivia has been particularly good. And I followed her journey right from the beginning. So, she's a great example of a brand that works its socks off, but is getting there.
Definitely. I know Olivia very well, and she's very kind of charming and softly spoken, but she has that steely determination that
Absolutely.
it's definitely, she's definitely going to take that brand to where it needs
Yeah.
to get to.
Yeah. It's
And
like sort
obviously.
of magic dust, isn't it? It's really interesting, actually, looking at the brand founders and and thinking, are you, because we see them often at a very early stage, right? When they've got their first two or three fragrances and they're keen to get a comment on it. So we see a lot of young brands, and it's, I'd love to be able to analyze and have a sort of checklist in my head as to whether someone's going to make it or not, and what makes you think they're going to make it. Do you have any thoughts on that? How do you look at a brand and go, is this, are you worth investing in? Nah, not sure.
I think for me, it's like you say, looking at the founder, and as you know, I'm obsessed with founder stories. That's what we work on here at Smart Beauty. And I feel like if the founder has got something about them, if they've got an interesting story, if, aside from the quality of the fragrance and its originality and whether I like it, I think if they've got something about them that I think, yeah, this is interesting, I want to buy into this. I'm interested in this person. I'm interested in they're using scent, because they've got something to say. Like, this is what they have to say. This is their kind of like outlook on life, or this is the message that they're putting out there with this fragrance, and they see it as something more than just a nice smell. I just
Absolutely.
think founder story is so crucial to me when it comes to brand longevity and success. Do you
That's
agree?
really interesting. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do, but I haven't really thought about it until you've just said it to me. So I guess I do want to know a lot about where they've come from, why they're doing it. Yeah, I'm particularly, we've got Valens, William Burroughs from Valens is coming to the fair, and unfortunately we didn't have a space for him, so he came up with this novel idea of doing an ice cream. I said, I've got space outside, but I don't think there's anything your brand could work with outside, is there? And he said, I'll do scented ice cream.
Oh
And
my
it's
gosh, that is genius.
just that thinking on his feet, thinking, I really want to be there, how can I do it? That's how I do it. I think about, okay, we can work outside with an ice cream vent
That's
stand. So
so brilliant.
isn't that clear? And I just thought, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you're worth hanging out with William, because I think you're going to go far. So, yeah.
And like obviously the whole like kind of village fete aspect, it's so much, it's one of the sort of key industry events of the year. But I love that kind of, I don't think it's doing it a disservice by saying that there's that kind of village fete feel to it, because I think that's something very British, which I think, given that you're showcasing British perfumers, I think is kind of a wonderful thing, and it should, you should own it in a way, do you
Okay.
not think?
I'll try not to go. Well, I mean, just as well, because that's all we've got. So,
Yeah, but
yes, but you're right. I should own it, shouldn't I? It does add to the fun of it as well. So, yeah, and yes, I think you're right. I should definitely own it more. And it's just realised it's William Borrell, not Burroughs. Sorry, William.
Well, William Burroughs selling ice cream would have been very cool.
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
That's
Yeah, that
fun.
would be amazing.
And you've spent years interviewing perfumers and brand founders for your website, We Wear Perfume, which you run with the lovely Tamara. What kind of major trends or shifts have really stood out to you recently?
Oh, okay, that's a good one. Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but we have to talk about gourmands, because although we've been watching gourmands for what, 2 years, I think, they're still here and they're still massive, and I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're going to be with us at least till 2026, to be honest with you, because a gourmand is a comfort smell. And I think that there is something very addictive about the lovely, cozy, comforting nostalgia that, smelling vanilla and whatever that goes around, that sweet, sweet vanilla has got a good, it's a good vibe for this current climate of chaos. And I think that'll probably stay with it. I mean, we've been watching, Tamara and I love amber-based fragrances. And so we've been loving the sort of the connection to amber and that sort of warmth. So from the frankincenses, the incenses, those sort of, I guess it's an evolution from oud. We all now are happy to accept a heavier weight fragrance. So where can it go? And oud has sort of taken us on this lovely journey through the incenses, the frankincenses, how that's worked a heavier weight amber. Has been quite fun. We've quite and also rose. We both love rose, and there've been a huge amount of fantastic roses coming out. one that combines the two is Tobacco Rose. Do you remember that from
Yes.
BDK recently? That I just we both love that. We've got very similar tastes, so yeah, I remember that being quite a big hit. But I think going forward, what we're really interested in is brands that are looking for the sustainability angle, because I know it's slightly off the moment talk, sustainability at the moment, because of this total chaos that's happening around us. Sustainability is taking a bit of a back seat, and actually it absolutely must be right at the front of all of our decisions, because it's going to be a crisis, and we need to be prepared for the crisis. So brands like Nisaba, we've loved the founder there worked, I think it was for Givaudan for years as the head of sustainability, and he's brought out this beautiful little brand called Nisaba, where everything is so cleverly thought through, and he's really taken the sustainability angle right back to the ingredients, properly looking at a refillable bottle, properly looking at the carton that it comes in. So I think going forward, sustainability will continue to be important, but we're really going to have to fight to put it at the top of the agenda at the moment, I think.
Definitely.
What about
And
you?
you
What have you
will.
been seeing that you've liked or that you think is important?
I think that I love how kind of celebrity scents are making a more sophisticated
Yeah.
comeback.
I
So, for
see
example,
Bob Marley's brought his own collection out, which is jolly clever, isn't it, from the
that's
grave?
incredible. And like the Khloe Kardashian perfume, I don't know if you had a chance to smell it, but I thought that was beautiful. And it's
Oh,
the
was it? Good.
bringing in these sort of master perfumers to sort of create the scents. And I feel like there's a lot more consideration and care when a celebrity brings a fragrance out. It's not just, to like align with their latest single. Because, as you know, like 10 years ago, they were popping up like mushrooms and they were just, and it really, not sustainable, just kind of, flankers, this scent, that scent, and no, nobody really cared about it. Whereas I feel like now, people are very conscious of that. And when somebody puts their name to something, they want to be sort of a lot more involved. And there's just a lot more, I don't know, nuance about the scent. And just because a celebrity's attached to it doesn't mean that a scent isn't beautiful or worthy or interesting.
No,
Would you agree?
absolutely. In fact, Duran Duran brought out their second collection of fragrances. The first one they did with DS and Durga, which I really liked. And then this second one has been brought out with by Kilian, I think, hasn't it? And there was an enormous amount of interest from the press towards the launch. I'm not quite sure why it was set. I mean, I know that a lot of us got asked to go on radio and, write features on it because it was Duran Duran. And I was really surprised at the interest, but I think that cult we sort of forget the cultural importance of music and how well it can sit with fragrance. So I think there's something quite strong in that. So if you've got a musical celebrity, then I think that's possibly where we might see a bit of interest going forward. I mean, the Bob Marley thing I think is quite interesting. And you think
Yeah,
of
that's fascinating. I'm not too
yes.
familiar with that range, but I'm definitely going
I
to check
haven't
it out.
tried it at all. There's about seven scents in the collection, and I haven't a clue what they're like, but then they sound very interesting. But that I wonder whether with so much money in the I musical IP at the moment, all those musical films we're seeing, the interest in the Beatles, the Beatles film by is it Sam Mendes who's doing the four Beatles films over the next couple of years, one for each Beatle. The IP in that and the money in that is really important. And I think the connection to fragrance could be an area where we see the fragrance industry looking to connect to. I don't know. So the celebrity might be rather than, a fabulous influencer or a film star, it might well be,
What
musically
do
based.
you think of the spiritual wellness shift that we're seeing in fragrance? And obviously Kate Moss brought out Cosmos with that, was it an aura enhancing mist? And you've got Charlotte Tilbury's, like, I think they, the law of attraction and things like that. I mean, I think that there's something kind of sort of, I love the theatre of it, even if you don't fully buy into it or think it's a bit woo-woo. Like I love Vallejo, for example. I think given that our, in this country, our kind of history of like paganism and that celebrating like the solstices, I love that kind of connection with fragrance as a, in sort of relation to that and that kind of spiritual side that that fragrance has. And what do you think?
I absolutely love it. More witchy perfumes, please. I absolutely love it. I love Vireo. It's a really good example. It's a beautiful quality fragrance, and the range is really nicely thought out. I think that Yasmin's got a really, she's got terrific style, which I think is, for me, is really important. I know I shouldn't say it, but I just think that her ability to edit visually or aromatically is important. She brings a really strong handwriting to it, even though she's working with Lynn Harris. I know that's who made her first fragrances, but I just think they're really beautiful fragrances, and she's got a good understanding of what is woo-woo enough, but not enough to scare the horses, which I kind of like. And Charlotte Tilbury, I mean, bless her, she's a queen of marketeering, isn't she? So she tells a good story, and
Marketing
whether you
genius,
believe,
that woman.
as you say, but if you whether you believe your aura has changed or not, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's a cool story to tell. It's kind of fun. So I'm all for it. And I actually think, I mean, that aside, that sort of light-hearted view aside, we're going to see a huge amount of aroma used in wellness over the next decade, because the science is there now. You go to the IFRA conferences, I know, and we learn, our minds are blown every year, Viola, aren't they, by the new research that's come out, which tells us that we've got scent receptors in our hearts, in our muscles. No one's
Incredible,
quite
isn't
sure what they're used for, but they're there. So
it?
aroma and our, our organs and our muscles and our general body, the physiology of fragrance goes really deep. And it's just, we don't quite understand everything yet. But since COVID, and since there's been more money around for scent research, we're seeing the sort of lid open on this area, and I think it'll only get much more powerful. And I imagine we'll be almost seeing fragrance as a prescription. You're sort of actually going to buy a fragrance because you know that it's got emotional triggers that you could do with. So yeah,
And obviously, as you know, I have a young son, you have a young grandson.
lovely Lenny.
Shout out to Lenny. But I love this sort of trend we're seeing about how young boys and young men are like being drawn now to fine fragrance. And given the kind of current conversations that are happening around like the things that young, the influences that are surrounding young men and all the concerns and worries about the culture that they're growing up in, do you think like fragrance, for me, it just feels like quite reassuring that, I don't know, like young boys discovering scent, it's kind of a way for them to connect and sort of manage their emotions and
And
to
that's
have a
so.
kind of creative outlet in that way. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question to ask. How on earth do you fix this situation? And I have no idea.
A whole other
But
podcast
I
that.
think possibilities the cleverer people than us. But I think that I mean, the fragrance is a key emotional connector. You and I both know that. So if young boys are looking to fragrance to make themselves feel better, to give themselves an identity, to reinforce their personalities, then that's got to be a good thing, because it means that they're connected to their emotions and they understand it. And I think that if they're looking to fragrance as a kind of emotional shield, maybe that would, I think that. That sounds a bit grand, but maybe it's a way in for them to start talking about it and to start understanding where it can go and how it, how it's good and how it's not so good. I mean, I'd love to think that fragrance could solve all our problems by just spritzing Viola, but I suspect it's not that easy. But
It will
I
one
do
day.
love the fact that, and why wouldn't you as a young man want to smell fabulous? No one wants to smell rubbish. So, I'm thrilled that they're all starting to actually take an interest in fragrance. And in fact, it's kind of not a surprise to me. I've got three grown-up sons, and when their friends used to come into the house, they would always make a beeline for my desk because it was always stuffed full of fragrances. And they'd always pick them up and go, "Well, what's new? What's exciting? What make me smell good?" Young men have always been interested in smelling good. There is nothing new about that. It's just that at the moment, something's happened that allows them to feel comfortable TikTok, I guess, has happened and made them feel comfortable talking about it and making them realize what a fun world this could be for them.
And obviously there are a lot of men who are writing about fragrance, who are, like the amazing Darius of Persolet's,
Yeah.
and Hayden and others. I mean, do
All
you
at
think
the fair, can I just say? All
all at
at
the fair, like, go, yeah,
the fair.
you want to meet them in person.
Yeah. And do we've got TJ as well, TJ Talk Sense, who's a really cool guy.
Oh,
We're thrilled to
fantastic.
have him too.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think it is that kind of, that men kind of connect with scent? Because it does feel like more and more guys are now kind of getting.
Crikey, that's a good question. I'm not sure I know the answer.
Yeah, maybe we should get Hayden on and
We
ask
should
and ask him.
probably, we should get a boy on, shouldn't we? So as a trend forecaster, I would say it's all about identity. I think that there are not that women have much bigger license. I mean, we have a load of issues, don't we, as women? But one of the issues we have license on is to express ourselves through our clothing. That no one's terribly surprised if you're wearing amazing clothes. I love clothes, and
Time.
I love you being able to express myself through clothes. Men have not been able to quite in the same way as women have. I mean, maybe if you live in London, you disagree with me because we have men everywhere dressing wonderfully, but and very creatively. But generally, as a generalization, I'd say that men have less ability to create their own identity through what they're wearing. It's a little bit more limited. So fragrance gives them a chance to reinforce that identity. And with Gen Z and millennials, they've really pushed back on the whole gender thing. So they're not keen on identifying as necessarily male or
No.
female. It's not important to them. What's important is their personality and who they are. So fragrance gives young men a chance to be themselves through fragrance, through a non-gendered channel, if you like, and an invisible channel. So, it allows all sorts of access to emotions and to style that, they might not have felt so comfortable doing with their clothing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. I
Yeah.
was speaking to the amazing James Craven, who was the perfume archivist, as you know, at
Oh, I
Les
love James.
Senteurs. And I think he's retired now, sadly, but I
Yeah,
remember
sadly.
speaking to him and saying how women wear scent as a way to feel good, to sort of like, as a kind of emotional touch point, whereas men wear scent kind of like as a bow tie or a final finishing touch to their outfit. And I thought that was
Yeah.
interesting, that kind of
Yes, very much
distinction.
so. Yes. Yeah.
And going back to the fragrance fair, what are the things that you're most excited about for this year's
Well,
event?
my head is in so much process at the moment. I'm just hoping that it all goes okay. I'd be happy with everyone having a nice time, to be honest. I'm really excited. I'm always excited to see the brands because with some of them, I don't see them for a whole year. So it's nice to see their new releases. And quite a few brands we're seeing launching new fragrances at the fair, which is kind of, rather lovely. So I know that there'll be quite a few brands that are bringing new launches. So that'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to all of the talks. I don't get a chance to go to all of them, but I'm going to hang around for the LMR one with Joe Fairley because I think that'll be great. I'm going to hang around for Hayden's one on men's smell, which will have Darius and Vesicalo, who you'll know from he used to be head of Harrods Fragrance and now he's at Phoenix. He and so knowledgeable about, why people buy, how people buy, what you should and shouldn't buy, and also TJ Talk Sense. So that'll be a panel of men, try if you like, trying to analyze what we've just been talking about, how this new evolution in men's fragrances occurred and why it's important and what they should buy. So that I think that'll be a really could be quite a sort of, a newsworthy one to go to, I think. So yeah.
Fantastic. And it's May the 17th, and tickets
May
are
the
still
17th,
available.
Saturday. Yeah, it starts at 9:30 and it finishes at 5. We have a website, barnsfragrancefair.com.
I'll include it all in the show notes so people can just,
Okay.
yeah.
Yes, and some of the so it's
Through.
free to come, absolutely free to come to the Barnes Green Centre and see all the
Oh,
brands.
amazing.
Tickets will be needed for any of the talks and workshops and walks. Olga from Perfume Walks does a wonderful scented walk around barns, so that also needs a ticket. So buy those beforehand because they are selling fast. But you can come to rock up at 9:30 and come in free of charge and have a look at every brand and have a good sniff and hopefully buy something that you love.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'll definitely be there with my scented ice cream. And
Yes, I know. I get there fast if you want scented ice cream because I think that will sell out. That sounds, especially if it's a sunny day, then I think that will be a real winner.
for sure. And I'm bringing my toddler because it's child friendly. Is
It's
that right?
totally child
Yeah,
and dog
child
friendly.
friendly
We've even
and
got
dog
dog
friendly.
fragrances. We've got Prudence does a dog fragrance, so we've got that as well because Barnes is a very dog friendly place. So yeah.
Well, Amanda, I'm so in awe of you for just getting this event off the ground and making it into what it is today. You've done so incredibly well, and I have to say I don't think you give yourself enough credit. So I'm giving you that credit. I think it's
Thank
just
you, Viola. That's very
amazing.
sweet of you to say so. I should just be pleased if it all goes according to plan this year. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Oh, it definitely will. And thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. It's
It's
been really
an
lovely.
absolute pleasure, an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. All links will be in the show notes, and feel free to visit smartbeautycreative.com or visit us over on Instagram to find out more about what we do. And if you enjoyed listening, please don't forget to rate and review Smart Beauty on iTunes, as it helps people find us. See you next time.